Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Very next verse, a miracle took place. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes. Good. Good. Can you see it?
I don't know, Pastor. This is real bad.
No, I've seen way worse than this.
I don't know if we can.
Well, if you can't see it, we're done. Yeah, you got to be able to see your future. Paint things well.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Do you ever go through dry spells in your life where God feels like he's a million miles away? You don't feel much like praying, like doing devotions, even getting up and going to church becomes a chore. Well, there's a story in the book of Ezekiel about some guys who went through a dry spell. Pastor Wayne will be along to tell you about it in just a moment. But first, we invite you to join the family of New Hope for a few minutes of worship. Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Make Us Live.
Ever have a bone out of place? I mean, like you pull your shoulder out, or and when Aaron was younger, his cousin was swinging him around, and all of a sudden we hear this bang, and his elbow gets out of joint, and his whole arm is extended, and he's crying with excruciating pain, and I didn't know how to put that thing back in. And he's just crying, "Dad, it hurts, Dad," and he's just, everyone's panicking. So we rush him to the emergency, and it's interesting. As soon as the bone was put back in, it's like immediate relief, just that fast. But before, it's like excruciating pain. Ah! And as soon as he puts it back in, ah! Oh, okay, let's play again. Let's go. Can we go? Just that fast. Israel had bones out of place. Bones that had been disjointed, and the pain was excruciating. The results or the consequences were getting worse and worse. But instead of putting bones back in place in relationships vertically and horizontally in their hearts, they would be in excruciating pain, seeing their economy go down, their lives go bad, everything going bad. It's like having excruciating pain because your shoulder is disjointed or your elbow, and instead of getting it put back in, which brings immediate relief, instead they're taking drugs, they're complaining, they're taking meds, they're angry, they're grumbling at God, but no one's putting the bones back in place. Israel was like that. We're going to talk about Israel, but not as a history event. We're going to talk about it as a present-day mirror. Because whenever you read the Old Testament, it's not an event of yesterday. It's our tendencies of today. So never think that, that's history. No, it's a mirror. And what they did, the tendencies are inside of us. And we'll become the same thing if we don't learn. And Romans 15 says, the things that happened in earlier days were examples for us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Israel. Now, instead of putting things back in order, which would have brought immediate relief, they just, for some reason, just continued in their disobedience to God. And the pain was great. But instead of just moving to the resolution side of the equation, they stayed on the problem side. It's their fault. It's this fault. And because they didn't put their bones back together, just get priorities back in place, well, they started turning on each other and civil wars broke out, wars and battles and people causing families to fly apart and nations becoming at war because they're always on the problem side of the equation rather than on the resolution side. And it seems obvious if there's a bone out of place, get it in place. Seems obvious to us. But someone said it this way, the obscure we finally see. It's the obvious that we're blind to. And that happens in families because that's our tendency today. And we're going to talk a little bit about moving from the problem side of the equation over to the resolution side. And there's some steps that we need to take so that you don't focus on the condition, but the correction that happens in our lives. Some bones get out of place, people get sideways in relationships, and we probably spend 3, 4, 5 months talking about, well, they should have done this, they could have done that. That's wrong. They don't do that. And we just love talking about the problem. And what it does is it trains us to stay on the problem side. But listen, until you move to the resolution side that says, okay, it's like enough blaming. Let's see how we can correct it and rectify it. Until you move past that center point, faith does not enter. You won't find creativity or innovation. You won't have courage. You won't be able to see the future because you're blinded by this. Now, when you're on the problem side, which Israel remained on, you're going to see some symptoms. And the first is, this is going to happen a lot. You're going to look for someone to blame. And then it's going to turn into anger. But then you're going to say, oh, well, why did that person do this and why did that do that? Then you're going to get defensive or defensiveness. And then you focus on not the future, but you focus on what happened when. And you stay that way. Those are symptoms that'll take place again and again. And we brew over this. And this is what causes wars. This is what causes civil wars. And that's exactly what was happening in Israel. Because they stayed on this side and things were out of place. But when you move over the center point, it's no longer blame, but you start moving to receive the courage for repentance. And then not only that, instead of getting angry, there's forgiveness. And instead of people becoming defensive, there's hope. And we give grace because we know that except by the grace of God, there we go. We all make errors. And then we don't focus on the past. We look to the what? Yeah. And see, that's where faith comes in. And until you move over that center line, you'll never be able to have the courage for this. How often we in families, when there's something going bad, guess how long we stay on this side? Sometimes years. And the reason why families limp the rest of their life is because we never got off of the problem side of the equation. After a while, you just have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and say, enough, let's move on, let's rectify it, let's resolve it. All of a sudden, faith enters in. Miracles will start to take place. You'll have innovation, courage. You'll start to see things more on a positive side, and you'll see hope. And that's where we need to bring people to. Well, Israel stayed on this side and the civil wars continued and bones stayed out of place. Well, God's going to bring Ezekiel to this valley and I'm going to read some context for you. And it's going to be an interesting metaphor. It's almost like you could make a movie out of this one. Listen to this. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of God, and he set me down in the middle of a valley full of bones. And I passed round and about them, and there were many bones on the surface of the valley, and they were dry. And God said to me, "Can these bones live?" And I answered, "Lord, you're the one that knows." See, he said to me, "Then prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I'm going to put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, that you'll know that I'm the Lord.' So I prophesied. I said what he commanded me to say. I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, every bone into its place. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them yet. They did not live. Then he said to me again, 'Now prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might come to life.' So I prophesied just as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the house of Israel.'" And at the top of your notes, let's read the next verse. Go. "Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life.'" Wow. That would be a great movie. I can just see it. Indiana Jones and the Valley of the Dry Bones. I'm going to talk to Steven Spielberg about this one. This would be great. But God says there's going to be times in our life where bones are going to be out of place. People are going to get sideways. You're going to have a financial setback. Your heart's going to be disjointed. Your faith. You say, but why does God use such strange metaphors like this? Well, whenever he does, embedded deep within it is a lesson for us for today. Not yesterday, today. From yesterday. But you have to understand that in order to get the gems and the richness of God's word, you got to be willing to dig. Because the gems, the diamonds and the emeralds and the rubies will not be found on the surface laying out there by the alawai. You got to dig. You got to dig. Sometimes we just want a life like an Easter egg hunt. You know, all of these little eggs. It's just like, let the kids go, oh, here's one. Oh, here's another. Oh. It's not like that. Because all you'll get are little penny toys and Hershey's kisses. But that won't make life. If you want to have insight for your marriage or gems for your future, to sense what God is saying, you've got to be willing to dig. And God puts these stories together. And when we're doing devotions, you think, well, I don't know. I don't understand what that says. I don't understand what this says. No, dig. Because in it is the diamonds and the gems and the rubies. And when you catch it, you say, ah, but it's too deep. No, dig. Even if you have to go through 5 feet of soil, when you get one diamond, it's worth it. It's worth all the digging in the world because you found it. But you've got to dig, and it makes it valuable. It also develops an ethic or a hunger inside of you for the things of God. Oh, I don't know. I have to get up early and read. Oh, I don't know. I want it on the surface. No, you dig. Oh, but oh, choke reading. No, dig. Because it's for your future. And God embeds those gems. And as you're going for it, you're developing a hunger. You're developing a heart to follow hard after God. So dig. And as we retrace the story, we begin to see what God is saying. Some of the obvious things in life, like put the bones back in place. You know, there's so many things that are so obvious, but we just don't do. I remember an era in the Green Bay Packers when Vince Lombardi was a coach, and the Green Bay Packers failed and fell to a far inferior team than they. And when they looked at the reason why they lost, it was because of the basics. They just blew the basics. It wasn't the advanced plays that they messed up. It was the basics. And so because of that, Vince Lombardi called a practice for the very next morning. And all these multi-million dollar players that are professional NFL players.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
Get there, 8 o'clock. So they file into the players' room. And Vince Lombardi said, it's because of the basics, the very basics of football that we lost. We're forgetting the basics. Let's get back to the basics. So everybody said, okay, coach, let's get back to the basics. And here's what he did. He picked up a football from the table behind him and he said, players, this is a football. And story is told that one of the players in the back of the room said, oh, coach, I'm taking notes. Could you slow down? Basics. And that's what Ezekiel is going to be reminding us about today. And God's going to give us three steps as to how to move from the problem side of the equation to the resolution side. And we need more people over here to balance the scales in our world. That's why we've got so many problems in families and countries and nations, because we need people on this side and say, we can do it. Well, how do you move across there? Well, here's what we're going to do to find these three steps. Before we fill in number one, we're going to read a couple of scriptures under number one, and then we'll back up the car and fill in the blank. All right? So let's take a look at number one, and let's read what it says in Ezekiel 37 and verse 3. Would you read it? Go. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, only you know. Here's the first step. What God is saying is, can you see it, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? Can they live? You see, if you don't see that your marriage can make it, if you don't see a preferred future for your life, if you don't see that God can use this church in a global way, if you don't see it, it ain't going to happen. Because you've got to be able to see it. It happened in the New Testament. Let's read this next one. Go. When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him and said, oh, sorry. And Jesus said to them, okay, could you read correctly here? All right. Jesus said to them, here it is. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Very next verse, a miracle took place. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes. Good. Good. Can you see it? Sometimes I have a marriage counseling in my office and it's like it's all falling apart. And I say, no. I've been through many counseling things like this before. And I'll say to the husband, this is easy. Yeah, we'll just rectify a few things and give some forgiveness and some repentance. And we got it. We move on. The lesson's learned here. We don't need to keep beating each other to death and putting salt in wounds and finding out what the cause was and who's to blame. No, I've seen this before. Oh, I don't think we can. No, you can. I don't know, Pastor. This is real bad. No, I've seen way worse than this. You can. I don't know if we can. Well, if you can't see it, we're done. We're done. Because faith is not going to be able to flow in, because you're going to stay on this side and you're going to rationalize why you should stay on this side. Now, you got to be able to see. In fact, would you write down number one when you're going through struggles and problems? Would you write down seeing is? Yeah, you got to be able to see your future. Paint things well. You got to be able to see it. Remember this. You don't see with your eyes. Okay, then what do I see with my ears? No. What I'm saying is this. You don't see with your eyes. You see with your brain. You see, your eyes are simply lenses, optical lenses. But you've got in here your optical lobe that actually it projects the image onto your brain. And then your experience, your definition of the event or that person that you're seeing, you're mixing stuff into the image. And then it gives you the meaning of what you're seeing. You don't see with your eyes. You see here with your mind. And that's why the Lord says, in order to see correctly, you've got to renew the spirit of your mind a lot. Otherwise, you're going to be mixing what you're seeing with past events that are negative, and everything you see, you're going to start painting dark. Think about it. You see some guy that kind of said something bad to you last week at work, and you're pushing your cart down the supermarket aisle, and you see that person. Then you go the other way. Well, and another person go, hey, there's Joe. Come on, let's go. And the person's saying, that's just Joe. But you see, the image is the same, but you mix that image with different definitions that painted it so dark. You don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind, your brain. And so God is saying that we must renew the spirit of our mind so that we can see things in a way that's a preferred future. In fact, let's read what it says in Proverbs 23. Go. For as he thinks within himself, so... Yeah. If you can't see it, but if you can see it, you've moved across. And that's when innovation comes in. That's when forgiveness is available. That's when grace starts to flow. That's when faith happens. And that's the beginning of miracles that'll give you a future and a hope. Can these bones live? Yeah. It looks like a bunch of disarrayed, disjointed bones, but they can live. Good. You're about to see some miracles. Got to cross that center point. If you can't see it, it won't happen. I love to tell the story of George Danzig. I tell it in the book, Attitudes That Attract Success, that should have been a New York Times bestseller, but it didn't, and it's all right. But in it, I tell the story of George Danzig, who was a math student, a graduate student at a Southern California university. Everyone knew that at the final exam, whoever got the top grade would get the one and only invitation to be the next associate professor in this math department. Well, George wanted it so bad, he studied like crazy. So much so that on the day of the test, he was cramming so much that when he looked at his watch, the test was already in session and had been for 15 minutes. He was late. Quickly, he scarred his books together and zipped down to the department where the math test was being taken. And as he went in, he noticed he was already like 30 minutes late now. So he rushed into the room and he said to the professor, "I'm sorry." And the professor put his finger to his lips. "Shh," he said, "it's only an hour and a half test and you've left, you have a half hour behind now. So you only have an hour left here." And he gave him a ream of papers. "Take the test." Well, George Danzig is a brilliant guy. And so he began taking the test and he got them all right, or got them filled in. And he still had 5 minutes left. And he thought, "Yes, I got it." But when he looked up, there were two more problems on the blackboard. He thought, "Oh no, he's probably giving us extra credit and someone's going to get it. So I've got to get these down." And he turned papers over and copied the first one down and started figuring it out. And boy, I tell you, his mind was in a zone. And he got it. And he started on the second one when the teacher said, "Time's up." "No," he said, I can't. "I need more time." Knowing that someone in the class was going to get him all right. But sort of discouraged, he put his paper down on the professor's desk as the other students did as well and filed out, knowing that the next day he would come to class and hear somebody else's name mentioned that got him all right. Well, he entered the class the next day, only to hear the professor stand up as George entered, and he said, "George Danzig, you just made mathematical history." And he said, "What? Oh, that's right, you were late yesterday, weren't you?" the professor said. "Oh, yeah, I was studying." No, let me explain," said the professor. "Before the class started, I said to the students, math can be a very difficult subject. In fact, this test is going to be difficult. And moreover, there are some actually unsolvable problems in math. And as an example, I wrote two of them on the board and you solved the first one." Now, let me ask you this question. If George would have heard the professor say, "You cannot solve this," do you think he would have even have tried? See, nobody told him it couldn't be solved. He believed it could. And as soon as that happened, innovation, creativity, wisdom, insight, the ability to solve difficult problems started to flow. And if you look in Daniel 5, 11, and 12, one of the things it says about Daniel was that he was able to solve difficult problems. You know why Daniel was such a huge character in the Old Testament? Because he didn't live on this side. He lived here in this neighborhood. And God is saying, if we're going to see life come to families and life come to churches, we need to live on this side of the neighborhood, not on this side of the train tracks. But many live right here. You got to see to believe.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Let Us Live by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited spaces available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.